Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Well, thank you for joining me here today on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. We are running a little bit different time schedule than normal, so it's not quite the midnight hour on this show, but we'll be back to those regular hours next week. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols George, and I am your hostess. And the music you were listening to there at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence, and that's by Shimshai. Shimshai is a group that I met in Arizona a few years back while I was doing some work around the Sedona area and the Phoenix Valley area, and they've gone on now and they've just grown to multiple items, because when I first met them, they were just putting out their first CDs, and now they're traveling internationally all over the place. I want to welcome everybody that's here today, whether you're returning or whether you're just joining us for the first time. It's great to have you here. And just to let you know what this show is about a little bit, or what we focus on here, I focus on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you probably experienced on previous shows. And if you haven't had that chance to do it, and maybe this is the first time you're tuning in, you can go back and catch those shows in our archives. So that's a really great option for catching up on some different things that we've done in the past here. I've also authored two books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, and that includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, fundraising events, all kinds of things. I have finished up the tour for 2012, but I'm working on setting up some venues for 2013. Do expect to be back down into the Arizona area in the not-too-distant future, working on some fundraisers down there, as well as getting back out into California. So those of you that are in those regions, you'll probably be getting to see me sooner than later, hopefully, on those events. You can follow any events that are available to register for the Compassion Tour at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And you'll notice in there's also an option that's called Gifting the Tour, and that's for people that maybe you're unable to attend, but you want to help me get out to the fundraisers, or you want to help support the work that I'm doing in Compassion and working with people, and that option allows you to gift money in any amount that you choose to do. So it can even be a dollar, you know, whatever works for you is fine. And here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I do look at different ways that compassion exists in our lives, and I look at how to remove those blocks, resistances, frustrations, and other things as they relate to compassion. Some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our life, how it affects our life, and the different areas of compassion. And then some weeks I'm focusing more on exercises and practical implementations of compassion, how to put it into your life easier, exercises you can do at home in regards to building compassion. And oftentimes I've got guests on the show, so that way you can learn about the work that other people are doing and how that complements and works with compassion. I will be highlighting different musical artists along the way, and I will also have nights that will just be call-in coaching nights. So actually I've got one of those coaching nights I'm planning to do. The first Friday in January we'll do maybe some New Year's readings, take a look at what's coming up for people in the new year. And those are nights where you could just call in and share what's happening in your life. I'll work with people on the air to make breakthroughs, to get through things that they're working on, answer questions that they have. So it's kind of an intuitive coaching style that I use on that. And remember, when you're asking questions, you're calling in and sharing your questions and sharing the things that are going on for you, then that's going to help other people, because usually there's somebody else out there that's going through the same thing or knows of somebody that's going through the same thing. So it's really useful when you're doing that sharing with us. Now, on today's show, I have Tina Irwin as my guest, And we're going to be looking at the frequency shift that we are experiencing in these times and what our role is in that shift. If you have questions for Tina or myself, you can call in on the live lines. The number's right there at the top of the screen. It's 760-542-4345. And you can call in, and then if you have a question, you can just press 1, and that will get you into my queue. It'll put a little question mark up for me so that I know that you're interested in asking a question. Matter of fact, I see that we've got a caller in the queue, and I just wanted to acknowledge them. Also, I pay attention to our chat area, so if you're in the chat and maybe you're not in a position where you can call in, you can always type questions into the chat area, and I'll be watching that as well while we're on the show. And just a reminder that if you enjoy this show, you can make certain that you tell your friends, tell family, significant others, Facebook connections, whoever you're inspired to share it with, and they can always listen to it in the archives. They can get to it using the same link that you came in to listen to the live show, and they can also go to my Activating Compassion Facebook page, and that page is facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. And that has all of the archived shows in it at that point. So that's really a great way to kind of share it and let other people know what's going on. Now, for those of you that were tuned in last week, you may remember that we started kind of what I'm doing as a series of 3 shows here. And even though they're all separate individual shows, They're tying in this whole theme with the frequency shift that we have going on. So last week we had Jean Logan on, and she was talking about the symbols, and she was talking about how we can use that in our life. And we learned that symbols, too, are really important as part of the opening for the energy. And then with Tina, she's going to be talking more about what this frequency shift is about and how that's going to apply to us and in our lives. And then next week, I'm going to have on Claire Heaton. And Claire is going to kind of be bringing some of this home with setting that energy in motion that much more. And she deals with music. So that's going to be a really incredible show as well. Now, before we get started on everything, I want to open up, and those of you that have been with me on the show before, you know I'd like to work with Yehuda Berg, his book of the 72 Names of God, and he is a Kabbalah master. He goes out and does workshops and all kinds of things. Matter of fact, if any of you have listened to Evan Paz on our network here on Thursdays, Evan actually has had that opportunity to connect with Yehuda as well. I found out when I was back there in person. And what I like to do is I like to randomly open to a page in the book and just see what our message is. And I always find, too, that these messages just seem to have a way of applying to whatever's going on or what we're talking about. And I just kind of randomly open up, and let's see what we have for today. We've got the name of God that we're dealing with today is known or translated as the Big Picture. And what this says here, what he's got captioned, is when we want to grasp what life is really all about, these letters give us the big picture, which always includes the blessings that are hidden in the obstacles and challenges that confront us. Now, the insight that he has on here is kind of a little bit of a story here. So his insight on this big picture concept is, a small girl sees an apple seed for the first time. She is not sure what to make of it. One day, she sees her father burying the seed in the ground. Then a tree grows, bearing bright red shiny apples. From now on, when the girl sees a seed, she also sees the tree hidden within it. One day, the girl picks an apple from the tree, and within it she discovers a bunch of apple seeds. Now, when she looks at an apple seed, she perceives the tree, the apple, the new seeds, and even the many future apple trees that will one day come into being. All this is understood in one moment, simply by glancing at one seed. This is how wisdom really works. It's easy to get stuck in the details of life and to miss the big picture. We perform actions without any regard to their future consequences. But as the apple is contained in the seed, every effect that materializes in our lives has its origin in a prior action performed by us. Seeing the big picture means learning to become the creators of our own fulfillment. To realize the light is the source of all joy and to settle for nothing less. It means grasping the purpose behind a problem and the potential light that awaits us when we proactively confront our problems. Now, the meditation Yehuda's provided with this is, this name raises your awareness of the long-term effects of all your actions. You see the big picture of the spiritual challenges in every moment before they can become the foundations of chaos and crisis. So when I apply this, for example, to compassion and the work that I do, you've heard it, anybody who's listened to the show before remembers that I've mentioned, look at that bigger picture, right? Look at the bigger picture, because there's always more than what we can see there. If we were just looking at the apple or just looking at the apple seed, we wouldn't put all the rest of the pieces together. And it's just like when we look at somebody and we make a judgment about them, then we miss putting all the pieces together that could prevent us from having a really incredible experience with that person. So the chaos and the crisis is kind of like the judgment. And looking at that bigger picture is going to allow us to put more pieces together. It's kind of like, I refer to it in my book as having a superpower of X-ray vision. Okay, when we look at the bigger picture, it's kind of like getting that superpower. So think about that. Now, the way that this name is pronounced is Aleph Nun Yud. Aleph Nun Yud. So when we say that, what we're doing is we're drawing on that awareness of the bigger picture and the long-term effects so that we can see more of what's happening, why those challenges are before us. They're there for a reason. So if we're being challenged by something, it's because the universe or God is asking us to make ourselves a little bit stronger, get through this challenge so we have something else to share or to move beyond. So I got onto that, and that kind of ties up for Yehuda, and I'm just catching here. I see that Dove has typed something into our chat and says, I just came in. Don't know if you mentioned this already or not. The Earth is moving to the fifth dimension today or to the fourth dimension. I always thought it was the fifth, but some people told me it was the fourth. Okay, so that's actually, Dev, one of the things we're going to be getting into a little bit later with our guests and talking about that opening that's happening today, because not only do we have this big frequency shift happening, but we're also enjoying the winter solstice tonight and today, actually, because it started at, like, very early this morning. So we actually have a lot of different things coming together at one time right now. Now, when we look at the shift of December 21st, 2012, it relates to a great opening in the gateways. It's a time where the universal frequency is shifting, and many have experienced a tsunami physically during the last few months. We've heard about that, right, out there on the East Coast. A lot of you are out there. Some are equating this shift to an energetic tsunami. And what that means is that there is a great amount of force that is aligned and moving through a focused amount of space. Does this mean that we will suddenly all see light different and we're never going to have any hate or anger or have a single thing to worry about again? No, but it does mean that in gradual and subtle ways, we will find ways of doing things that are in alignment with universal harmony. Now, everyone is bound to experience things in their own way. So there's likely to be some destruction of things that no longer fit into a higher frequency or wavelength. And when we talk about the fifth dimension and the fourth dimension, like Dove was bringing up, part of that is related to the frequencies at which things are operating at. And much like hate has a hard time, or this would be equated to much like hate having a hard time existing in a room full of love, yet at the same time, love is able to survive in a room full of hate. Not always easy, but it can do that. And you want to think of the energy coming in. It's a lot like water that's turned on high, coming through a high-pressure hose. And there's a lot of force as it is moving through that small space of the hose. But then as it comes out of the hose, the force is much less noticeable, and it's not being forced any longer. So it can be used to water and nourish and create life and sustenance or to drink from. If a plant was blasted, for example, with that high-pressure force of the water as it is inside the hose, it would probably be destroyed. But when the water is allowed to bathe it without pressure, it's nourished. And it only needed the pressure to get it from the pipes to the source of the plant. So the alignment of the planets that's happening right now is a lot like the pipes and the hose that get the water from one place to another place, creating enough pressure to move the water and use it for nourishment and development. So when everything's in line, that's kind of what it's doing. It's taking that energy and it's moving it in, and then as it comes out on us, it's much more of a gradual nourishing thing that's happening as opposed to just, bam, this high-pressure force that hits us. So when we talk about the end of times being upon us, it's more of an end of life as we know it, and it's like a bear that gradually awakens from a long winter's nap. It's really more of a shifting, like moving from the back seat of the car to the front seat of the car. Okay, you're still riding in the same vehicle, it's just a different view that you're getting to see. And what I'm going to do here as we move in, because I do want to give our guest Tina a lot of time today, is I'm going to take a short music break here, let you digest some of that information that I put out there. And when we come back, I'm going to be bringing Tina Irwin on, and we're going to be talking about different things that are happening with the frequency shift, and we'll be happy to take questions and callers and everything too during that time. I'm going to play a song for you also by Shemshai. It's called Move Mountains, and hang in there with us when we come back. Our guest Tina Irwin will be right with us.
Yahweh, now move mountains, I say, yeah, yeah. Oh, Jah Jah lead our way, I have forward forever, I say. Faith in Jah Yahweh, now move mountains, I say. Surrender, let go of your fear. For Jah is always here, right now and forever. Surrender, accept all that comes. For Jah is always one in every endeavor, right now and forever. In every endeavor, right now and forever. For Jah Jah lead our way, I have fallen forever and say, faith in Jah Yahweh. Now move mountains, I say, yeah, yeah. For Jah Jah lead our way, I have forward forever, I say. Faith in Jah Yahweh. Now move mountains, I say. And life is a simple thing you'll find, and it ain't hard to change your mind. But leave all your worldly desires behind. So Oh, Jah is always here, right now and forever. In every endeavor, right now and forever. In every endeavor, right now and forever. In every endeavor, right now and forever. In every endeavor. And life is a simple thing you'll find, and it ain't hard to change your mind. But leave all your worldly desires behind. Yeah, yeah. For Jah Jah be that way, I'll follow forever as they. In Jah Yahweh, now move mountains, I say, yeah, yeah, for Jah Jah be that way. I am forward forever, I say, praise in Jah Yahweh, now move mountains, I say, yeah, for Jah Jah be that way. I am forward forever, I say, praise in Jah Yahweh, now move mountains, I say. Way. I am falling forever, I say. Praise in Jah Yahweh. The moon mountains, I say.
Okay, we are back here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And if you're just joining us, yes, we are airing early today. We have guest Tina Irwin that we are bringing on the show, and we're going to be talking about the frequency shift that's going on. I do want to acknowledge one of our chat room people. Zorro is in the room today and was asking if our guest had any books that were written. If so, where can they get them? And actually, Tina does have some books written. She's written a few of them. And you can go on to her website at tinairwin.com, click on the books tab. Just to give you an example, she has written The Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma, The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief. And then she's also recently put out a trilogy that is titled Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, which is really exciting. I actually had a chance to sit down and get through the first book of that, and it's really, really exciting stuff. Matter of fact, I have been talking with Tina about probably bringing her back on in the fall of 2013 just so that we can talk about that book and go over things with how to deal with people that have passed on. And what I would like to bring up here is that Tina is a former Navy officer. As I mentioned, she's authored several books. She has studied with the Edgar Cayce Institute and provides workshops through Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment. She provides a focus on helping people to understand why metaphysical things work the way they do and how to assist spirit energies, as well as the responsibility that goes with that, because there is a lot of responsibility that goes with working with energy and working with spirit energies in particular. We are going to take a particular look today at the frequency shift that we're experiencing and what our role is in that. So let me go ahead and bring Tina on here and get her mic opened up. Tina, we've got you on the air, and I want to say thanks so much for being here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. It's really generous of you to give us your time. I know that you had events going on today, and you still took time out to be with me.
Jesse, this is a great honor to be here on this day at this time, so I'm thrilled to death.
Great. And it's really interesting. I was actually being interviewed on a show last night, and talking about this very thing with some of the frequency shifts going on. And I was bringing up a point of how it's very interesting numerologically that when we look at the 12-12-2012 opening and the 12-21-2012 opening, we have exactly the same numerological vibration, which is a 2 vibration, which just affirms kind of the direction of where this frequency shift is happening. But before we get too much into that, I'd love for you to share your background with our listeners and to kind of give them an idea who's Tina, where she's been, where she came from, and what got her to where she is.
Well, that's quite a bit. I think I'm probably, like many of your listeners, discovered at an early age that I had some modest level of psychic ability. And it's like a person who is has a little bit more music ability than someone else. For that ability to work, you have to work at it. You have to build it up. But at the same time, you have to make a living. And as a child growing up in the 50s and 60s, I didn't want to be a martyr for the rest of my life, you know, saying I couldn't be paid the same as a man. So I joined the military, and they pay you the same as a man. And in today's society, we don't think about that, but in the 60s, that's what everybody thought about. And so by the 70s, I graduated from college. I have a Bachelor of Science in Industrial Relations and a Master's in Management, and I minored in sociology and psychology. So I actually found everything interesting, whether it was history or international relations or geology or astronomy. The whole world is fascinating, and if you're going to study metaphysics, you have to study everything. So I used the Navy to understand politics and to understand how people think and work what appears to be a rigid structure, but actually is in a very creative structure, which is a military structure. There's far more room for theme and variation than you might think. The military is also an organization that was the first ones to open up to equality for women and minorities. And I got to see that firsthand. And along the way, I mean, why do you join the Navy in the 60s to the 70s is to, find a husband. So I found a husband my very first day at my very first duty station. And both of us worked for the submarine force. He, of course, got to go to sea on submarines. I did not. I've been on many submarines, but not over 24 hours. So I have a tremendous amount of admiration for a bunch of old Atlanteans playing with new creative toys, which would define the submarine force. They're brilliant, brilliant men. And I like to think that some of the things that I did paved the way for the women who are just now being allowed to be stationed on nuclear-powered submarines. It is an astonishing technology. Along the way, I discovered that I had a growing level of psychic ability. Sometimes I could see the future. That didn't last very long because in the 80s, what I could see today wasn't there tomorrow. I could see it clearly one day, and then it began to vanish, and I think I wasn't the only one who could see that. We were stationed in Italy, and in one of those unusual moments, I was with another lieutenant, and she was ironing her uniform for the next day, and I looked in the corner, and there was a ghost standing there. And I said, gee, you know, Cindy, do you realize you have a ghost in the corner? And she said, yes, he's been with me all my life. Can you see him? And I said, yes. Why are you living with a ghost? And she said, I love him. Okay. It's one of those very unnerving moments, and so, again, like a lot of other people, I don't think there's anything particularly unusual about me. I realized that I could see ghosts, and I was not afraid of them at all. And then as time went on, we had a house in Charleston, which was profoundly haunted. I did not know how to help a ghost cross over. So through years and years of study, I did, in fact, learn how to do that, as well as expand quite a few other helpful skills. And that enabled me to help other people. While I was in the military is only about people. That's your prime objective, is the people in front of you. It's not the equipment. It is a mission, but at the end of the day, it's only about the person in front of you. I spent a lot of time doing counseling, and I ended up doing an awful lot of that when I retired. So helping individuals, that sense of talking to them, and they can be anywhere in the country, and I'm sure you do the same thing, you get a sense of the person and what's happening with them. I don't tell futures. I don't do readings. I make the individual work a lot harder for the information they get because then they own it. So in 2003, my niece died very suddenly, and I knew firsthand in those moments what grief is like, the exquisite grief, physically painful grief of losing a child, which my sister and her husband and their other daughter got to experience. And out of that experience, I wrote The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief. And the compassion that is open to you, we had a difficult experience. It could have been 1,000 times worse. We had a difficult experience, and we chose to use it to open our hearts to compassion for anyone else who's grieving anything else. And that's what sponsored The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief, which is, in fact, a tool book that will help you open your heart so you can heal. And if you're the neighbor or a coworker or a classmate of someone else who's grieving, that you can help them to heal. A lot of people are very much afraid, sounds odd, but afraid of a person who's suffering profound grief. So they kind of avoid them, and we saw that. And that book's designed to give you some tools where you don't have to feel so inadequate, and you can open your compassionate heart to them.
And this is important, I think, right now, too, as far as being attuned to knowing how to heal that grief, because there's a lot of different forms of grief, not just in the form of losing a loved one. And certainly here during the holidays, a lot of people have that grief coming up more and more because of people they've lost throughout the years or lost during this year. It's a time of year where things are very triggered by that. But we also have a lot of internal grief of even things that we're not totally aware of that need to be let go, especially as this energy is shifting and changing on this frequency, that there's a certain amount of grief that just naturally comes with letting go.
That's absolutely true. As we enter a new age, it's called the Great, in the some of the old studies, a year was roughly 25,920 years or 26,000 years. It was an opportunity once that time ends, which it ends today, and tomorrow is the beginning of another 26,000-year cycle. It's a massive new beginning. And part of the beginning is that the planet is in an evolutionary process. Everything evolves. At the beginning of the last 26,000-year cycle, think about this, Cro-Magnon man was emerging. So
that's
in
pretty
26,000 years we've gone, because here again, going back to Yehuda Berg, who I also greatly admire, and there's a Kabbalah center in La Jolla near me, his looking from the microcosm to the macrocosm, 26,000 years ago, we were living in caves with Cro-Magnon man. Today, look where we are. Imagine with the work that each of us does as we individually evolve, where will we be 26,000 years hence?
It's hard to, I think, even conceptualize for most people of where that's going to be. And because with each one of these eras or generation of 26,000 years, our vibration is shifting. And I think that's a great analogy of going back and looking at how little we had to look with and how primal we were at that point to where we are now. We like to think we're evolved enough that we have some sort of humane, compassionate side going on. And the concept of where we'll be in another 26,000 years is just, it's mind-blowing in a way.
Exactly. And your focus on compassion is really a very critical element of the progress of the evolution of mankind, because 26,000 years ago, there really wasn't much compassion. And so 26,000 years later, there is far more of an abundance of compassion, I think, than most of us realize.
Mm-hmm.
Put somebody on the internet who's ill and you'll end up with a flood of prayers. That's not compassion. I'll eat it. And you don't know what that person's faith is. This faith, I'll call it a faith-blind need. Somebody says, will you pray for my friend? I don't say, what church do they go to? I just say, sure. That's compassion in action. And so as the planet is evolving, because it is a spiritual being, we as human beings are also evolving. And as you look at you're going up the spiral. Well, everything that you haven't dealt with is going to go up with you. And part of what people are experiencing is a greater sense that the karma that's been created in the past seems to be coming to the surface. In other words, if you're going to ascend to higher and higher spiritual levels, you have to get all the stuff out of the way first, and that's not always easy. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable.
And I think that's very true. I mean, and when you relate it, like going back to the caveman, I mean, how difficult was their life compared to our life now? I mean, where they had to stop and shape the wheels for something, or, you know, hand work everything, and now we've got all these tools and that evolvement and that development from there forward and this vibration raising. I like to think that we're going to be in a place 26,000 years from now where compassion is the norm. It's a given. It's not like, oh, wow, thanks for helping me out, or wow, what an unusual thing. Somebody was nice to me today or smiled at me, but, you know, it will just be the normal way of life. And that's kind of exciting to think about.
Let's look at this from a slightly different facet. 26,000 years ago, there were glaciers that extended as far south as Wisconsin and the Missouri Valley. They extended way into southern Germany, and the Nile was much longer. In other words, the glacial line from the Himalayas came all the way down to certain regions of China. What are we looking at in 26,000 years? Maybe we have warmed to one another, looking at the metaphor. We aren't as cold to one another. The world isn't as cold to us. Maybe it isn't as brutal. We are seeing pockets of extreme brutality, that's true. But if you look at how far we've come in 26,000 years, we worked really, really, really hard. And I would say since 2,000 years ago, at the end of the Piscean Age, as we're moving, at the beginning of the Pisces Age, we had a Christ. Moving into now, what we're seeing is that we have embraced a greater sense of peace on earth. And when you embrace all faiths, which is partly what the New Age was designed to do, if you look at this Hindu mother or this, you know, Muslim mother or a Buddhist mother or a Jewish or Christian mother or whoever, they still want to feed their children. They love their families. They want them to be married. They want them to have a safe place to go to school. We are all the same. And that concept that we are all the same opens our heart of compassion to each of them, so we no longer see them differently. That, to me, is one of the most important hopes of the New Age. And that concept helps to raise our frequencies.
And I think that was partly already made evident a little bit with the shooting in Connecticut, in that every mother out there, I think, felt that panic, like, oh my gosh, that could have been my kid, and had that relation, had that compassion, and I think that's exactly what you're talking about, is we're not different just because we're sitting on another continent or have a different skin color or go to a different church. We are one and the same. We want the same things, and these are important facets. Now, Tina, I've got a couple of people I want to see if we can address a couple of things. I've got one person waiting in the call line, and I am going to get to that person in just a minute. I had somebody prior to that wanting to get some clarification about your thoughts on whether we're moving to the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension, and I know there's a lot of confusion out there for people about that.
We are in the third dimension, and we're going to stay here. When you die, you enter the fourth dimension, and that's very adequately explained in many religious texts, which the one we're most familiar with is the 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the fourth dimension. And when you cross over with an angel or you see this beautiful light, you cross into the fifth dimension, which is the heaven world. So we are going to stay, just like we have over the last 26,000 years, for the next 26,000 years, we're still going to be living and dying in the third dimension, because it gives us the physical time, the space in which to do it, and gravity, which holds it all together, to have the experiences. As we all know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. You can only do that in the third dimension.
Mm-hmm. So when people are talking about where we're moving in or elevating into the fourth or the fifth dimension, do you feel that that's happening energetically then? Because obviously we're third dimensional as long as we're living on this earth.
I feel that, and this is just one opinion, I would always suggest that any of your listeners do their own due diligence. I'm offering one voice, that's all.
Right.
My opinion would be that as you embrace prayer, as you open your heart to compassion, even if you're grieving something very serious and very private, you become more energetically in resonance with more spiritual things, which means the ability through prayer and possibly through dream time, you are able to connect to the higher realms. And it takes you to a place of greater insight, greater emotional stability, greater peace, and a feeling of greater safety. Sometimes the world, as we know from a week ago, doesn't feel like a very safe place. But the fact of the matter is, as you connect dramatically to the divine, no matter what happens to you, that faith is your anchor to God, and no one can take that from you. Not a gunman, not a cruel teacher or a vicious parent. When you have a connection to God, you are connected to the divine 24 hours a day. My teacher called it constant meditation. I thought that was really beautiful.
And I feel like some of what we're seeing in this is that it's going to be more of our mental and emotional state that's elevating during this time with this frequency shift. And it's because more of us are moving into this evolved way of thinking that we have going on, and that keeps our thoughts in this more positive space, so we're more connected to God or spirit than we've had in the past, just like we're much more connected there now than we were 26,000 years ago.
Exactly. And we didn't know what it was.
We didn't know what it was. So I think that, you know, realistically, to put this in perspective, in some ways for people, if we were to all jump into the fifth dimension all of a sudden, and they say there are some reasons there behind why we're skipping over the fourth dimension with the way things are evolving, but what it is that we're... If we were to jump automatically to that, we would have no ability to walk on the face of this earth, which is kind of where Tina's headed. We'd have no ability to have conversations. We would not see each other in these human forms. We would not necessarily be touching solid objects like the wall or the chair or the computer or things like this. But what happens is that our thoughts evolve to being in this, for example, more compassionate space or this more caring space or this more unified space. And as we do that, that's kind of that concept of heaven on earth. I would say, you know, having heaven on earth, it's where they unite in a sense, that we're kind of mentally, emotionally living that fifth dimension, and that's where we're headed. That's what this time is about, is making that shift.
It's also there's a very practical aspect of it. It's a very grounding aspect. And let's bring this back to a very plain reality. And that would be, a great master was asked one time, what would a person's final incarnation be? Would they be a great one sitting on a mountaintop communing with the heaven world? And this man said, no, they're a housewife in Peoria. Do you know how hard it is to manage a family, a husband, school, relatives? If you have built, how do you know you're evolving? How do you know you're making these steps? How do you know you're raising your frequency? Because you're using your knowledge of the divine, of compassion, to fashion a wise approach to living on a mortal level, on a mundane level, where you go to the grocery store and you pay your bills and you put gas in your car. You're still going to do that tomorrow. But perhaps you're able to handle some of the inter-family personalities a little bit better. Perhaps you're able to say to an abusive personality, I don't have to take that anymore because I don't choose to allow myself to be abused anymore. I don't have to take it just because you're a relative. Suppose this person says, all right, I'm going to be more compassionate to myself and allow myself more growth, and I'm going to slow things down a little bit. I might want to take a job that's less stressful and gives me more nurturing. I might want to be able to take a hard look at my relationship with my spouse and decide how we best work our relationship, because one of the most dynamic elements of mortal life that gives us some of the most incredible opportunities for spiritual growth is building a strong marriage, a strong relationship with our spouses, our children, and our relatives. And when those are built, when you can look around your Christmas table at all of the relationships, maybe you're not married, okay, but you have friendships, you have opened your heart to other people, that's spiritually evolving. When you're embracing other people, you don't feel so alone. You become magnetic to people who are like you. Again, you're evolving. You're winding your way up. Because at the end of the day, we're still going to crawl into that bed and go to sleep and wake up the next morning and still face the things we faced today when we got up. But maybe we'll do it a little wiser.
And we actually touched on this a couple of weeks ago in my show when I had Bob Burns on, and we are all of service, and that is part of what this whole movement is about, is moving into being of service. But we all have different ways we do that, and for some people that's a housewife, and for some people that's running a company, and for some people that's doing energy work, and in your case that's healing houses and places of ghost and things like this. So we all have different ways that we project that service in there. And it's true. I mean, tomorrow we're still going to have the same needs. What happens is as we continue to build this awareness, as you mentioned, we think a little bit more about it. And it connects with one of the principles that I talk about with compassion, which is it starts with you as the individual. You know, and that's where it starts from. And as each one of us kind of get in there and say, okay, I'm going to choose to be a little more compassionate now, because part of what happens with these planetary alignments is that we get stronger vibrations happening. So there's a little more sensitivity out there in the universe, just like we might be a little more sensitivity to spirit activity going on. That our thoughts happen much quicker, just like we can move much quicker now than we did 26,000 years ago. Everything's moving much quicker. They're going to have a bigger impact. A smaller thing can have a bigger impact. And as we do that, it makes it more and more important to be clear in our thoughts. It makes it more and more important to come from compassionate actions. And as we do this, this is what so-called raises that vibration. This is what moves the hate, the anger, the fear out.
Exactly. All of those things matter. It's that old song, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me and let it begin in my family. Some people don't want peace. you might look at a person and say, well, they're not evolving. We don't really know that. And one of the spiritual laws states that you cannot change anyone else. You can only change yourself. And so if I had an interesting conversation with a person this morning who was frustrated with her partner. And she said, oh, I don't know if I should keep this. And I said, well, wait a minute. Your children adore him. Do you realize the impact it's going to have if you just decide it didn't work out? But what if you could make it work out? What if you could look at it from a different view? You're with a really good man. Focus on what is good about him, not what's bad. Forgive him for those things and look at perhaps he's depressed because of this reason or that reason. Look what you can do. Maybe you can't change him, but maybe you can change how you relate to him. This is a classic example of entering this wonderful new age with a new thought, a new idea, a new energy of, yes, I can bring about change. And that's responsibility not just for yourself but also for the earth. From another viewpoint, I keep going back to the, and I keep, but I'm going back to the people in California who desperately wanted to have genetically modified food labeled. And it's taking responsibility for our health and demanding that others treat us with honor and integrity. The issue of honor and integrity, being a person of your word, honoring your commitments, is also part of raising vibration. Are you that person that you want to admire? When you look in the mirror, are you a person that others would admire? If you're not, become that person. That's part of this change. It's a great opportunity.
And if you want to see these changes in others, of course, it's important to be that change. You've got to give them an example. So the more you become it, the more you're going to surround yourself with it. I'm glad you brought up an aspect of with relationships because I have had so many people fretting over relationships and whether to stay and whether to go, I think, far more than normal lately. And normally I don't see people worrying about it right at the holidays so much. Like there's usually people that want to be in one but maybe aren't. But I rarely see them wavering about whether to stay in or out right at this point of the year. So I'm glad you brought that up. Tina, I've got a person in chat here, Zorro, that is asking if you could talk more about the dimensions and the death process in relation to the dimensions. So Zora was feeling a little bit confused there.
All right. When a person dies, it depends on the method of death. The method that that causes a person's death, when you're in a mortal body, you're going to die a physical death. That's simply the way it is. We don't all live 100 years. Sometimes we leave early. The method of that death determines to a large degree what happens to a person the second after the silver cord is cut, which is what connects the seed atom of the soul basically to the divine. Once that's cut, you can't get back in the body. There's a mechanics that go with this. And so the soul literally leaves the body as an energy form. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, so that which animates you must leave the body, and the body simply becomes this inanimate object and becomes basically eventually dust and so much bone. And so now the soul is no longer in the third dimension. They are now in a fourth dimension. And that's why some psychics can see into the fourth dimension, but most people cannot. So now you're in the fourth dimension. If you have a belief system that says, I was born in hope, and I'm dying in experience, and I'm moving into the heaven world to be embraced by God so that I may appreciate the life just lived, then you cross immediately over into the heaven world. It can happen almost immediately. But for an unfortunately large number of people, they enter the fourth dimension in guilt and shame. I've heard many a soul has said, well, I was born in sin and I died in sin. God couldn't love me. And one of my deep passions is to get as many people as possible to open their hearts to the concept that these ghosts that they're holding on to, that they're making money on in haunted houses, are souls who are tortured for some reason, for guilt or shame. Let's say that your child died in a swimming pool accident, and you're the parent. You turned away for a second, and next thing you know, your child died. Or your husband committed suicide. Or your teenager hit a telephone pole, and you go through the torture of what if and if only as the person who's living. As the person who died, you did not anticipate what you would find. If you're suicide, you thought life would be better in the fourth dimension. It isn't. If you died a quick, sudden death as a child, you don't usually know what to do. If you died in an accident, you may not realize that you're dead. You may think you're still driving. So there are so much theme and variation. That's why I wrote Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. There's a story in there about a woman who was a divorce attorney. And a friend of mine called up and she said, "Tina, my divorce attorney is haunting me. Can you please do something?" It's like, okay, all right. So I connected with the woman through a little bit of remote viewing. And the next thing I know, she says, "I'm not worthy. God can't love me because I helped engineer and work through all these divorces, and I saw the faces of the children, and those living children are haunting me as a ghost." Talk about a reverse concept. And because of that, I had to inform her that God would love her. I brought in a child angel to hold her hand, because when I brought in a larger angel, she says, "I'm not going with him. You can forget it." She was really pretty surly. She was very angry at herself. By gently opening her up to the fact that God would be compassionate toward her, she was able to make that crossover pretty readily. And then my friend said she felt better in her house because she knew that this other attorney was crossed over. So a lot of people feel that religion on some levels has failed them because they haven't told them what do you do when you die. Look for the light. Ask for an angel of transition. Ask for help. If you have a loved one who died recently, there's a prayer on my website. It's absolutely free. You just say the prayer out loud several times, and most of the time you will feel this release as that person crosses over. All these ghosts in the fourth dimension are a burden to the earth. The more souls that cross over and receive healing in the heaven world, and then they reincarnate far more whole, far more healed, with a greater sense of purpose. It's an enormous life cycle that every mortal person can contribute to in a positive way. So you leave the third, you go into the fourth, and then eventually the fifth. But if you don't think you're worthy, you will be stuck in the fourth, because even though you may see the light, just like in the movie Ghost, Patrick Swayze saw that light, but he didn't go there. He couldn't believe he was dead. He was angry. That anger lowers your frequency. It makes it harder to cross over. You as a living person can help them.
So, and I'm glad that you brought these different things up, because I think, you know, a lot of people, they don't have some of that clarity, and they think of the fourth dimension as a much more evolved dimension than what we have. And I know from reading your book that it's kind of like they still have some of the shape and form and look as when they passed, or where they are now, like if we have an out-of-body experience and enter that dimension for one reason or another. But we're not really touching the ground necessarily. It's not like here where we can touch the walls and things feel solid to us. And it's that fifth dimension that is actually more the one that we think of as far as that bliss and that happiness and all the good stuff that's there. And part of elevating the earth right now and elevating with this major opening that we have going on with this frequency shift is to help also be conscious to release this. I mean, you might think it's cool to have a ghost hanging around, but really there's fear and there's pain, and we need to free that energy up because that's weighing down the frequency. So if we can, you know, free that up by helping us through. And the prayer that Tina was referring to on our website is called the Crossing Over Prayer. And it does. It's really about helping it. When souls get confused, and it's just like any of us, if we had something traumatically happen to us, you know, it doesn't even have to be death, but let's say traumatically you have something and you're in a car accident and you become a paraplegic. Well, it really takes adjustment. You know, you're not just all of a sudden going to know how to move your body and work your body and get things and do things. It takes time to make that adjustment, and that's the same thing that happens when somebody's going through a sudden death, is they're having to take that time for adjusting in there. The goal is hopefully in helping them move and pass so that they realize, and a lot of us do as humans, we carry this guilt. I'm guilty for leaving people behind. I'm guilty for not finishing something. I'm guilty for these actions I took. So as we raise our vibration, we become proactive when we're alive in doing that, which is part of this whole, again, frequency shift that we're dealing with today, is as we become proactive in releasing those guilts and those thought forms, we can pass through that fourth dimension and right into the fifth. And that helps not only us, but the people that are still living on the earth and so on. Am I on target there? And Zorro said, by the way, I love that answer. It made me think of things I never thought about before. Thank you.
You are 100% on target. When you're in the fourth dimension, and I'm trying to be very sensitive to family members who have lost loved ones, whether it's, you know, yesterday or, you know, 20 years ago, because they don't want to think of their loved one in that place. And I am very sensitive to that. But at the same time, I want to offer them the tools to, I want to empower them to help. Because a person who died a tragic death may be in a very cold and lonely place, and no one can hear them. And there was an individual who was moved on by a friend of mine, Laura, and her family has come back to her four times and said, our lives are so much better since he's moved on, and he's been dead 20 years, and you came into, you know, you came to visit us. I think she was in some cold state, like Wisconsin or Michigan, and she helped this man cross over very quickly, and the next thing the family knows is all of a sudden their life feels better. And I would like to shift this just slightly to what happens if the person is just plain evil? What happens to them? And I'll use the example of a neighbor of mine who was a bail bondsman, and he was in residence with some extremely dark things, and he created a lot of darkness in our neighborhood. There was a tremendous amount of darkness. And his wife didn't want anyone to know that he died. And the only reason I figured out he died was I saw his ghost walking up and down the street. So I immediately brought an angel in and crossed him over, even though he had harassed me mercilessly for 5 years. My act of compassion was not judgment. It's not up to me to judge this really difficult personality. I don't have all the facts for why he was difficult. But I didn't want the darkness of his energy to continue to contaminate a neighborhood that includes some really fine people. And maybe if this man is crossed over, maybe if he felt the light of compassion, just maybe when he comes back, maybe he won't feel like he's such a dark person. Maybe things will be better. And things were a lot better after he crossed over. So with a little help from his, wasn't necessarily his friend. And so even if, for instance, in the 9/11 situation, there were many of us, and I was not the only one, who crossed over the terrorists. And there would be people who said, why would you do that? Why didn't you just leave them there? Because I would say I could not leave them there because it would imply that I judged them and nobody put me in charge of that. It's just way above my pay grade. So by assisting even a dark personality, a gunman, a terrorist, a vicious individual. You have helped the earth, and you have helped that soul in their soul evolution because you rose to the occasion of a higher frequency, a greater good. And I felt really very strongly that that kind of an issue needed to be addressed.
And the thing that I think sometimes people forget, again, because they think automatically the fourth dimension is a more evolved dimension than where we're at, but actually a lot of negative energy can be greatly magnified on the fourth dimension.
That's absolutely true. That's 100%.
Yeah, so the dimensions can actually just magnify what was already there to start with. And when we look at things from that compassionate space, it really is about realizing as much as we want to hate that person that walked into that school and shot these kids for what seems like no apparent reason, or the terrorist that did the 9/11 thing or this stuff, that those people were in a tremendous amount of pain. I mean, usually these are young souls, because they don't have the skills as a soul to deal with these things, which, again, comes back to the frequency shift of why we need to help bring our own gifts out into the world so that we can reach out to more people and help work with these younger souls so that they're not taking some of these actions. But then to also realize that they're tormented again as a soul. So here they were on Earth feeling totally tormented. Then they do something like that, they die, and they're totally lost. So all they know is to create a lot of havoc and craziness in order to get attention, to get help. Because it's just like a baby who can't really tell you what they need. They have to cry and scream and make trouble before they can get your attention. So I think the concept there is kind of that same thing. And we think about, well, what about the good people, the ones that did all these great deeds while they were alive? Why would they stick around? As Tina mentioned, there's a lot of those people as well that don't feel worthy enough. They have feelings of guilt or different things. So what we really want to do is keep that, in a sense, we're trying to kind of clean up the fourth dimension, I think, which is why some people think we're skipping right over to that fifth dimension, and in a sense we're skipping over that fifth dimension in the evolution because we've progressed enough to do that, and that's the good side of it, is we've progressed enough, but to realize too that there are enough people sitting in that fourth dimension, or even here on the third dimension, again, the importance of taking care of it here so we're not cluttering and tormenting from that other side, because then you got to think about it. Imagine if somebody could do the amount of damage that they did here on Earth, and then they take that into a dimension where it's magnified, how much more damage they could be doing.
Exactly. I was on a Southwest flight. We used to own a crystal mine in Arkansas. Talk about somebody who loves crystals. I have several thousand. And, well, it's a life of experiences, and I've been, pretty blessed with them. But I'm on a Southwest flight to Arkansas. And when Southwest used to have the seats that would face you in the front of the plane. And we were all talking about, that we were chatting and we got the discussion of metaphysics. And the guy behind me says, he couldn't have been more than 22. He says, "I'm going to hell. You know that." And of course, you could have heard a pin drop on this airplane. Everyone was listening. This is before people had laptops. And the guy said, and I said, "Really? Why would you say that?" And he says, "God can't love me. God," he's having an intimate conversation on the plane of 100 people. He said, "God will not love me. I have already done something so bad that God could not ever love me. I know I'm going to hell when I die." He's 20. And I did not ask him his faith because I didn't want to put anybody's faith on, in an unnecessary spotlight. So I said, I do not know you, nor do I know what you have done, nor am I going to inquire. But I can assure you that on a certain level you have already been forgiven. And through your prayers and your request, a path will be shown to you where you can feel forgiven if you simply look for it. And people are leaning into this conversation because maybe there was a part of each of them that felt that they couldn't be forgiven. In A Course in Miracles, the discussion is always about atonement. And I have known of hundreds and hundreds of women who either had an abortion or they gave a child up for adoption. Those women are going to have a hard time when they die because there's a part of them that feels very badly for whether they were raped, I don't know what the circumstances are, but I've talked to an awful lot of these women. These are some of the loveliest people you would ever want to meet. You would think they would instantaneously cross over, but let me assure you that at death, the thought of what happened in that one moment in time will haunt them in life and in death. And without a process of atonement, a feeling that you can be loved, that God can love you, you're going to stay in a very cold and formidable place, which is the fourth dimension. And I would encourage anyone who has something they feel guilty about to find a way to atone for that within your heart and by asking God to forgive you. Part of raising frequency, part of rising up, is to learn to forgive yourself. We are mortal. We come here for the experiences, and some of them are really painful. Some of the decisions are really hard. And when each of us can forgive ourselves, it's one of the greatest acts of compassion that can happen. I mean, Jesse, that's your mission. And part of your mission is obviously getting people to show compassion for themselves, no matter what happened to them. It is the hope of tomorrow. Maybe people will not need to have compassion for themselves 26,000 years from now. But today, right this minute in this moment, they do.
Absolutely. And that is a piece of my work, is being compassionate with ourselves, because we tend to judge ourselves as harsh, if not harsher, than we judge other people a lot of times. And really some of the bigger tragedies that we experience throughout our culture and our society, no matter what part of the world that we're in, tends to be stemming from a lack of compassion for self and struggling with these very, very important issues. You know, for those of us that are the so-called light workers and doing this work to help shift the frequency into a higher vibrational energy, there is a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And I know you've mentioned about that responsibility. Tina, do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Anyone who is doing light work, anyone who, and especially someone who has psychic ability, must be very mindful that that psychic ability is not a gift. You open a gift at Christmas and Hanukkah and on your birthday. When you have psychic ability, you have a responsibility to the person in front of you, whether they're living or dead, to be the wisest person and say and do the wisest things. It's one of the reasons that I don't tell futures, because a person has an infinite future. There's karma created with that. That's why I'm very, very careful to guide a person but not to tell them. What you discover on your own, you own it. But if I tell you, maybe you do or you don't. When you are on your spiritual path, it's really hard work because you're looking for the wisest solution. When you're raising frequency, sometimes you have to let go of things that are not for your greatest good or anyone around you. And that can be a very detrimental person or a job that's destroying your health. And to rise up requires a lot of courage. Doing light work is like driving through a minefield in an earthquake and a thunderstorm. It's not for the hearted. Because you're going to have things that come at you because you're getting a lot of karma out of the way. It's like shoving all this energy to the surface and you're in the center of the earth. You got to move a lot of dirt to get that out of the way. before you burst forth and you're a star. To become a star, sometimes you have to remove some of the things that are in your way, and that's the karma. There's no magic words that will make karma go away. When Christ walked the earth, when Buddha walked the earth, when Muhammad walked the earth, they could not wipe out the karma of the people on the planet, but they could give all of us hope for a connection to the divine if we were willing to do the spiritual work. And that work is not easy. It means we have to come face to face with ourselves, or how we've behaved, or how we've acted, or the things that we've said. It is not easy, but it is the most rewarding work you will have ever done. And you release it. I wrote a second book, The Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma, and there's a section in there on cancer. Why does someone have cancer? And how can you heal cancer? Cancer is an emotional event that manifests physically in the body. Because there is an emotional hurt, and since we're not paying attention to the emotional hurt, the body says, I really need you to pay attention to this. And many times, cancer is the result. And many times, there's the opportunity to forestall an emotional, a physical issue by addressing the emotional cause. And you see that so many times. And so, when you have psychic ability, or you don't have any psychic ability and you're just trying to do the best you can, when you take responsibility for your own stuff and you start to heal it, amazing things can happen. And as we're entering this higher vibration, it may feel that a lot of stuff's coming at you really quickly and you're drowning in it. And if you step back a little bit and start looking at it, you can address it a little more easily. It's something I do with clients that addresses it very bluntly, and that is you write down whatever the event was that so bothers you, could be when you're a little kid. You write down the emotion that was attached to that event, and then you write down the lesson learned. So it's the event, the emotion, and the lesson learned. I had a client whose father beat her every day for 18 years, and her mother said she must have earned it. That's a lot of events, but she learned what unfairness was. She learned that her mother did not have compassion. She learned a lot of different lessons, because you cannot forgive someone else or yourself until you have embraced the lesson that you were meant to learn in the first place. If you keep avoiding the lesson, that if you keep avoiding what the lesson is, karma is going to keep presenting it to you. When you learn the lesson, karma will stop presenting it, and you will evolve to a next level.
And this is so, so important in these times, and this is where one of those things of why I come from a perspective of I need as many people out there doing the work as possible, because, you know, the light workers are doing as much as they possibly can, and the best we can do is present a choice, and I think that's what a lot of the different spiritual leaders through different cultures have provided, is they provided us with a choice. We didn't have to suffer. We didn't have to do these things. We can learn the lessons. We can feel the emotion and get the lesson and learn it. We, you know, it's up to us a lot of times how long we stay in something. When we look at some of these different things, the more people there are that are coming from awareness and being responsible for themselves, the less burden there is on a few people, and the more that they can, we can then all get to that space that's much more so-called enjoyable. It's kind of like getting a car or something like that. It might feel like a gift to get a car, but then you've got to be responsible once you get in that car and start driving it. You're responsible for anybody that's in the vehicle with you. You're responsible for the other people that are around you on the road, things like that. You're responsible for your actions and how they might affect other people and having a pleasant experience or not having a pleasant experience. I was thinking, too, it was very interesting when you were talking about the aspects of cancer and cancer being an emotion that needs to be healed. And and coming from that perspective of being a sort of healer myself, that when you reach an area, there's certain areas where cancer will be very predominant or heart attacks will be very predominant in things. And to me, that's showing that there's a vibration in that land that needs to be healed or in that history that needs to be healed so that people can take hold and clear their own emotional vibrations. And I think you kind of touched on this, if I remember right, in one of the stories of your book, that there was, like in the Civil War areas, where they would reside, and there were still diseases coming up in people that were remnants from that land not being healed and from the spirits that were still there not being healed.
Exactly. You may not realize that you're taking on a lot of the energies of the ground, the predecessor energy. It's why I study feng shui extensively, because I study Native American, Egyptian, and Chinese feng shui, because all cultures have some form of this, because they know, for instance, you cannot have that school in Connecticut, have those kids go back to that school. The predecessor energy now is so toxic, you cannot go back there any more than you could build a housing development on Auschwitz or Buchenwald in Germany. You can't do that. Unfortunately, we don't always know what happened 20, 30,000 years ago on a location. So the more you do to clear a piece of property, to heal a piece of property, and you might find that you're there because maybe that is your mission. I had a woman who asked me to clear a piece of property in upper state New York where there were Oneida Indians, and there had been fires because these people had all these diseases that the white man brought to the Native American people. And the white man had to burn everything down. All the dwellings of the white man and the Indians were all burned down, and they were working and living side by side. These were people not at war with one another. They were neighbors. And when this illness came, it struck everybody, but the Indians died, and the white settlers got better. And the Indians were so angry that their people died, and the shaman couldn't heal them. He had no skills to heal an illness he'd never seen before. Well, this woman kept having fires on the property. As soon as we removed, assisted all those Indians in crossing over, and some of the settlers as well, and gave healing to the land, it was amazing. She didn't have any more fires, and her house felt calmer after that. This makes a difference, whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe it for it to be true. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but it's an awesome opportunity. It's just tremendous.
And I think that this kind of ties back in as well with earlier parts of our conversation. And by the way, if you're having any questions about this, feel free to either type them into chat or go ahead and call in on the phone lines. You just call in on that 760-542-4345, and you just press 1, and that'll get you in to my caller queue where I can see that you've got a question for Tina or myself. And this kind of ties us back around of where we're making this frequency shift is coming in, and we need to take this responsibility to do this healing on a lot of different levels, that there is a lot of old pain there. I've lived in places where the hallway in my home was a portal for energies, and they were just lost, and they're like, where do I go and what do I do? We don't have to be repeating this. This is part of that shift that we're making to ascend and to take hold and heal and say that, okay, I might not have created this situation, and it's not necessarily always my responsibility to take care of it, but if I see that there's an issue, as a light worker in the universe, as a soul that cares, that we get to this higher vibration that we're moving into, then I will heal it just for the sake of that's what needs to be done, just like giving for the sake of giving. Somebody may not need me to go plow their driveway for them just because their snowblower isn't working. They've still got a shovel, right? They could do it. But isn't it still a nice thing for me to go ahead and take my snowblower over and do it for them? Of course it is. So it's that same kind of concept that just taking hold and clearing this is going to open up doors and avenues for ourselves. It's going to stop draining our energy out so that we can focus on our life purpose, so that we can focus on making contributions, so that we can focus on making the progression and having that life that I would say probably basically all of us want. I mean, we think even the people who are killers might not think this way, but really what they're looking for is the same that the rest of us are looking for. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for peace. They just don't know how to find it.
They don't know how to find it, and if they've had life after life of misery, and maybe if they've had that life after life, and they finally are crossed into the heaven world, maybe they've come back from a dark place. If they're finally crossed over into the heaven world, maybe they can become whole, perfect, and complete, finally. And then the next life, they will be different. Imagine that if all of us who have this desire to be of service were to help every soul we could find who crossed our path, living or dead, we made things better. And that doesn't mean we're, you know, the goody two-shoes. It doesn't mean we're never going to get angry or be frustrated or have a good cry now and then. That doesn't mean that. It just means that if someone says, I think my house is haunted, I'm going to give them the prayer because I want to empower that person. You don't necessarily need me. You need the power to be of service. That's what the prayer is designed to do. So that person can help. Well, maybe that person who's stuck in that fourth dimension now crosses into the fifth dimension. When they reincarnate, they're glowing. And according to the Peruvian shamans, this is the age that's called homo luminous. Maybe the children who are coming in will be more light-filled because someone helped them move on years ago. So we would end up 26,000 years from now far more evolved because more people were assisted to cross over. And when they came back, they were not angry. And they had more appropriate methods for working through past karma. Wouldn't that be an amazing thought, which would be a byproduct of all the things we're all trying to do today?
Couldn't you imagine that if all the souls that were being born into the world 26,000 years from now all came in clear, you know, like came in just to contribute?
Exactly.
I mean, it's an amazing concept to me.
It is. And every single, I had a listener from a couple other shows contact me on Facebook, and she'd been to New York, and she'd been to a kind of a tough area, and she ended up taking some ghosts back with her to Vermont. And she said the prayer, and she said they left. And she felt this huge shift. So when we're talking about this spiritual shift, maybe she's the microcosm, and the macrocosm is maybe all those souls had something terrible happen to them, and this woman appeared like light to them. You can, when you do this work, you look like this light bulb to beings on the other side, on the fourth dimension. And they really need our help. That's an astonishing thought, that because she helped those people from that tough part of New York, now maybe those souls will come back with gratitude. And by the way, the byproduct of helping all these souls is they send you prayers of gratitude, lots of prayers of gratitude for helping them. You can't believe what that's like.
And that's an amazing thing. I mean, when you think about that, to have that help from somebody unrestrained in a physical body giving you that kind of gratitude, it's it's such an amazing gift, and it's such an amazing space to be in. And I think sometimes we do get wrapped up in this, but I want to know my loved ones are with me. I want to know that they're around me. And that's really the ego, our human third dimensional ego, that needs that more than anything, because our fifth dimensional soul self does not need that and would not want that, because they're wanting the peace. However, if I'm correct, and you can correct me if I'm not, souls that have moved on into the fifth dimension can still have some contact with us, but it becomes their choice, as opposed to being trapped in the fourth dimension where it's not about choice. And we don't really want them trapped there, because there can be these negative energies there that can create more confusion for them if they're remaining in that fourth dimension.
That's absolutely true. When a soul is crossed over, they have the ability to enlist these amazing spiritual beings, these incredible intelligences, counselors of divine wisdom, and all kinds of angels, because they all have names, they all have jobs, to assist the living with their grief. But if they're in the fourth dimension, they are fraught with fear and confusion, and they're struggling. And sometimes family members, I helped a doctor who died earlier this year. He just said, I didn't mean to, this wasn't how I planned to spend this weekend. I had plans, not my funeral. When I talked to him, he said, my family, it's like I had these black cords wrapped around me, and they're pulling me and pulling me and pulling me. He said, if you don't help me, I'll never get to leave. And he said, I can't stand the pain of their grief. It is a torture for me. And I said, it's my pleasure to assist you, and then you'll be able to help them. And I've had several families. I spoke at the Edgar Casey Center last month, and I've had several people say, well, I like holding on to my child, my husband, my sibling, my friend. I can't let them go. And are you telling me I'm a bad person because I won't let them go? I mean, that someone said that to me, and I felt that was a valid statement. And I would say to someone who says, I just can't release them, I would ask you to ask yourself, what is the greatest good for the person you love? And the greatest good in your heart of hearts, deep in the kindness of your soul, is that they be embraced by the light, that God will hold them. They can sit on the lap of any divine being, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or your grandmother who you just sure crossed over, and these wonderful beings meet them. There's a joyousness I cannot convey to the listeners when these souls are embraced by this light. The pain, whatever racked their body, whatever injury they suffered, is healed. The body, the soul needs healing. They don't get that healing in the fourth dimension. And when you assist them, it means everything to them, and their gratitude to you is beyond belief. I had a woman whose brother was murdered, and I speak to parents of murdered children in Virginia Beach when I'm there. And these parents have a cloak of injustice that they wear because their child was murdered, and I understand that. And so a couple weeks after I'd spoken there, I get this email saying, well, I know my brother's with us and my mom won't let go. What can we do? And I said, use this prayer and assemble your family and ask your mom to do this as her final act as his parent. So the whole family got together. They printed the prayer. They said it out loud several times, and they felt him leave. And there's this peace that settles, because that dark energy of his grief and their grief is lifted. You can create your own miracles with something as simple and humble as that.
Absolutely. And this is the thing. And to kind of tie some of this together again, when we're looking at this frequency shift that we have going on today, and we're looking at this in combination with the winter solstice and all of this huge amount of energy. It's about choices right now. It's about what are you going to choose as your role? What are you going to choose to do to heal? And this opening of energy that we have going on, what it's doing is it's really giving us greater access mentally, emotionally, soulfully to that fifth dimension so that we can create these healings, so that we can make these evolving progress, so that 26,000 years from now, we do have that change and we do have that difference, and it starts with us. Just like 26,000 years ago, it started with the people that were here at that time. So think about it that way. It's really about choices right now. What are you going to choose to do? What are you going to choose to take responsibility on? These are important things to think about, and those are the things that are going to make the differences so that we can bring that parallel lifestyle thought concept into our third dimensional world. Tina, I want to make sure, because even though, the time's going by fast, obviously, and while we still have a few minutes left here, I want to make sure that you have enough time to get in to tell people you had a promotion you wanted to offer to the listeners, whether they're in the archives or whether they were listening live for us today, that I'm going to let you talk about. Please let them know your – oops, I've got somebody that just popped in as a question here, so we'll get them in real quick. And then I'm going to have you go over again what your website is, your promotion that you're going to give, and everything there. So I've got one caller here, 757 area code. You're live on the air.
I have a question about – maybe it has exactly to do with what you're talking about right now, but I really was like burning in my head – what about animals when they die? You know, I've had several cats through the years, and they've died. And, I mean, I assume that they move on. Do animals go to the fourth or fifth dimension? That's my question. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Animals can go to the fourth or fifth dimension. And I've seen many an animal ghost. And if I cleared 1,000 acres outside of Las Vegas, I couldn't believe the number of horses and oxen that were there. And when you're clearing a property, you're also going to be assisting all the animals to cross over. If you have an animal, a pet that you love dearly, you are going to be wanting them to be able to cross over. And that's going to make a huge, huge difference. And I think that on my website, I do have a video on Do Dogs Go to Heaven, which explains that. I also have a video on if you have to put your pet to sleep, how can you help your animal cross over immediately at the moment of death? And I think that's just huge. And anyone can do that, because animals sometimes don't know what to do either. And it's a very nice feeling to be able to do that, to help them.
So this prayer that you talk about, can you use the prayer on the animals too?
You can use the prayer on the animals too, and then just instead of saying the person, you can say, you know, please take my sweet puppy or my beloved cat or my pot-bellied pig and whatever, or your snake or your bird, whatever the animal is. You can assist them. And if you happen to see an animal that dies on the side of the road and you don't remember the prayer, you can ask an angel to come in and take this creature to the heaven world. It's just really, really a simple thing to do.
All right, thank you.
Great. So, yeah, I mean, those, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so I think that's an important thing, because we do, a lot of us have animals, and I have somebody who works tremendously with animals and everything. And Tina's got a huge amount of videos on her website. There's a tab there for videos, and it includes a variety of different things with working with the grief and everything, as she mentioned. So, Tina, go ahead and share with our listeners what you have for them and remind them of your website and everything that's there for them to access?
I have a website, TinaIrwin.com, and there are books available through there. And for the occasion of this special radio show, what I've done is made Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View, Book 1, free until the 18th of January in celebration of this show. So it gives you some ideas about what a soul feels. There's a prayer in the back of that book as well. And it's kind of a way to thank the listeners for coming in. And for those who would download the podcast, it's available for them as well. And you can get that through my website, and that's through Smashwords. So it's a very interesting little book, which will give you an insight into the fourth dimension, how to help ghosts, and what different scenarios there can be. So it's everything on that website is designed to be of service to anyone who might happen to find it, from how to put your pet to sleep to how can you heal and atone from an abortion. It's not a very comfortable topic, but it needs to be addressed, to some just all kinds of things like how to clean your crystals, understanding premonitions and dreams. And I have a three-part series on frequency, how to raise your frequency, and some very, very practical things that you can do in your home to raise the frequency of your home. Everything from maybe you don't want to use crystals, but you can use prayer. But let's say that you had crystals and you used prayer. We're in this new time now. Crystals vibrate when you say these incredible prayers. We call those spiritual practices for your home and your property. The crystals start vibrating with the energy of prayer. And so they continue to emanate, they continue to emit the frequency of love and prayer. Well, imagine that you put some crystals in your car. Your car then emanates the energy of love and prayer. And newsflash, your car will not break down as much. Your home and appliances will not have as many repair needs because the energy is so positive. So there's all kinds of interesting things on the website. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
Absolutely. And for those that want to take advantage of your ebook, I do have the information that Laura sent me, which is smashwords.com/books/view/173057. That gets you into where her book is on Smashwords. And then the coupon code that's valid until January 18th is N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, 97, J as in jump.
Okay. And we will put the website too. I'll have Laura put that information on the website so that people, if they didn't happen to write that down, that it will be available there as well.
Perfect. So that'll be a great thing for them to take advantage of. You can certainly share this with people to come in, listen to this broadcast so that they know what they are getting. I type that in for the people in our chat so that they can also write it down. If they're listening live, they'll be able to see that there for them. And somebody said, more happy, what is the code? It's right in there. It's N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, 97J as in jump. And that's right in there, the coupon code, once you get into the site. So that's on there. And also Tina's site, her website, TinaIrwin.com, is listed right at the bottom of the show description. So you should have that as well on there, easy to access her. She's a wealth of information. And Tina, I really want to thank you for being with us today and taking your time out. And I know you're going to go enjoy some holiday festivities here in a couple of hours.
Thank you.
And take advantage of some wonderful family time.
Absolutely. I can't thank you enough for the opportunity. And I feel like we're a great team, and it's a service team. The more we can help other people and empower them, and that's really what your goal is to empower people, the more we can facilitate the new age, and maybe 26,000 years from now, someone will look back and go, wow, those people worked really hard.
That's right. Thank goodness for them setting the foundation. It made our lives so much better. And hopefully it doesn't take 26,000 years for us to make the same amount of evolution that we've made in the last 26,000. Hopefully we're progressing at a rate now that we'll be able to actually enjoy more and more of that ourselves as opposed to just laying the groundwork. But, of course, that choice, as I've said, that choice is up to us.
Exactly.
So, well, again, thank you very much. And just as we close out the show here, I do want to remind you that next week on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, we are going to be back on at our regular time, which is midnight to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. to midnight Mountain Time, and 9 to 11 p.m. on Pacific Time. So we'll be back to our regular hours. I've got Claire Heaton coming in next week, and Claire is an artist, a voice healer, a sacred sound singer. She's a speaker on dynamic emergence, which is going to be our focus. She's the founder and director of Arts for Earth, and she's a mixed media artist with healing and educational background. She has a Master of Arts in Consciousness Studies. She's bringing consciousness through music, art, and collaboration. And we're going to be looking at her focus of dynamic emergence as we close out this sort of trilogy of shows in regards to the vibrational shifts and the frequency shifts that we have going on. I also want to put a little offer out there. Some of you may have remembered that I've done some offers on some of my unlimited email coaching in past weeks, but I'm going to change that up a little bit. And what I'm doing from this show, whether you're listening live or in the archives, I'm offering 1 hour of my personal coaching. So that can be done by Skype or phone at 90% off. That brings it down to only $40 a session. So it's very, very affordable. If you have somebody that you think that might make a great gift for, or you yourself want to give something to yourself, I'm trying to get things down as affordable as I can. So again, that's 90% off for the 1 hour coaching sessions. And also don't forget that we've got other shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Wednesdays at 11 a.m., Daniel and Janice are looking at different things. They have discussions going on a lot of times now. And then on Thursdays, we have Evan Poss with the Zariana Show. Evan is getting ready to take off and do some traveling, so we're trying to take advantage of what we can with him. Kevin Baird is on Mondays and is doing Walking on the Sidewalk, which highlights his Horizon Oracle journeys. If you haven't had a chance to take advantage of his readings and what he's doing with his Oracle Journey deck, that's really a great show to kind of listen into. And, again, my name is Jessie Ann Nichols George. I really want to thank you for being here in our show today. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. And don't forget that if you have enjoyed this show and take it and share it with others. And it's going to be available at the same link that you used to get into the show tonight. And that will be the same link that they can use to get into the archives. And again, they've got till January 18th to take advantage of Tina's offer. I'm going to be leaving you tonight with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shemshai. And I thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a very happy solstice, a very wonderful time here with this energy and vibrational shift, and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a
Thank you.